From EWTN, the Global Catholic Network, this is EWTN News Nightly.
With 5 days to go before the papal conclave, crews ready the chimney on the Sistine Chapel. And from that chimney will come either black smoke or the white smoke that tells the world, Habemus Papam, we have a pope. Thank you for being with us tonight. I'm Mark Irons on this Friday, the seventh day of Novum Dialis, a nine-day period of mourning after the pope's death. Cardinals gathered in St. Peter's Basilica once again to celebrate Mass for Pope Francis. In his homily, Cardinal Claudio Gugurati talked of mankind's relationship with creation.
This is a theme that was very dear to Pope Francis. Around us, we can't do other than hear the cry of creation, and in it, of the one who is destined to glory and the finality for which creation was willed by God, the human person.
Pope Francis's humanitarian legacy lives on at the heart of today's migration crisis, where countless lives hang in the balance. As Europe faces surging arrivals by land and sea, the Church's call to protect human dignity has never been more urgent, and the late Pope's message more important. EWTN Vatican journalist Valentina Di Donato has more.
As the sun rises over the Mediterranean Sea, cries ring out.
Elena! Elena!
Women, children, and men all begging to be rescued. These are the refugees fleeing their homes, many facing religious persecution, war, and torture.
Libya is too much problem. I see my friends, some people Somalian, some people Ethiopian, they die in front of me.
Most of these women and men had to leave everything behind. Everything except their faith. It is one of the reasons they are willing to risk their lives for a chance at a better one.
Travel boat, 107 people.
Emergency is an independent organization that rescues migrants from international waters. We are on board their search and rescue ship called Life Support. And during three missions, we helped save 215 people and brought them to safety. These operations are in step with Pope Francis's advocacy for immigrants. He became a voice for the voiceless.
Has any one of us grieved for the death of these brothers and sisters? Has any one of us wept for these people who were on the boat, for the young mothers carrying their babies?
The Pope made that speech in 2013 during his first papal trip to the remote island of Lampedusa in the central Mediterranean. Since then, Statista reports more than 30,000 people have died trying to make the journey across the sea to Europe. And throughout his pontificate, the late Holy Father repeatedly stressed that migrants, like all people, possess inherent dignity and should be treated with respect and compassion. In 2023, at the Mediterranean meetings in Marseille, the late Pope spoke to religious leaders and bishops about the migration crisis in the region.
This splendid sea has become an enormous graveyard.
We speak with Fatima, a young woman from Eritrea. After leaving Libya, she spent days at sea on a rubber boat. She tells us the night before the rescue, a wave struck them, making 14 of her travel companions fall into the sea, never to be seen again. But one thing kept her alive.
The Virgin Mary helped protect me on this journey. I was not so fearful because I had all my faith in God.
Joseph from Ghana tells us that what brought him to Libya was to search for his father and to find work to help his family back in Ghana.
But the Libyan people, if they catch you, you will suffer. They will go put it inside prison. The prison cells, you see some people die. My dream is I will be like fisherman. Yes, I want to be a fisherman.
Even after risking their lives, their dreams may not become a reality. After insistence from the NGO and public opinion, the Italian government was pressured to assign a closer port for the most vulnerable on board. Pope Francis made welcoming, protecting, and integrating refugees a central part of the Church's mission, his message still echoing as indifference towards the migrants continues to spread. In Rome, Valentina Di Donato, EWTN News Nightly.
Whoever the new pope turns out to be, before he's presented to the church and the world, he will have a special moment of prayer in a small room called the Room of Tears. Joining us now is Father Sitchko, who was recently in the Room of Tears. Father, thanks for joining us again. First of all, explain to us, what is the Room of Tears?
So the Room of Tears sits off to the left when you're looking at the altar of the Sistine Chapel. And in that room is where the Holy Father goes and once elected and changes out of his cardinal robes and into the white cassocks. They usually have three cassocks there, small, medium, and large, and transfers into, you know, has his private moments right before his whole life is about to change and be introduced into the world for the very first time.
Wow. What was it like
and
for
so
you?
And so it was, yeah, it was just, first of all, to be able to have the opportunity, because I've had the opportunity many times, thanks be to God, to privately tour the Sistine Chapel, but I've never been able to get into the Room of Tears. They've always said it's locked or off boundaries. And it just so happened I asked again, and they opened it up and went through it. And really, the nostalgia and everything about it was just unbelievable. It was much smaller than I thought it would be, but it was a very special place.
And I want to ask you, Father, Pope Francis appointed you and about 1,000 other priests or so around the world, missionaries of mercy. Just give us a sense of that mission, that mandate, and does it continue even with the passing of Francis?
Yes. So, yes, it does continue. It continues throughout any pope, unless the Holy Father decides there is no longer need for that ministry. But that wouldn't make sense, because the whole ministry of mercy is surrounded by evangelization and by forgiveness of sins. And all of us can be agents of mercy in one way or another. But like you said, 9 years ago, Pope Francis, through the Year of Mercy, named 1,000 priests from all over the world. And then it was only to be a year assignment. And then in November of that year, as we were closing out the year, the Holy Father surprised everyone by elongating that mission of mercy and making it an indefinite appointment. And so very honored to do so. And then on top of that, I travel full time doing that ministry and evangelization ministry throughout the world. And so I'm on the road about 300 days a year. And so it's a really unique opportunity for I and my brother missionaries to spread the good news of Jesus Christ through mercy, through God's healing and forgiveness. No one escapes God's mercy and grace if they're willing to receive it and be open to it.
Absolutely. Pope Francis would often say, don't be afraid to return to the sacrament of confession. Are you seeing that? Have you seen that in your years in this ministry? Are people returning to the sacrament?
Oh, not only, yes, returning to the sacrament, and people are being habitual in coming to the sacrament. And so that is the joy to see, and of all ages. And, you know, as Pope Francis said, todos, 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 everyone, 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 you know, get back to the sacrament. As I share with people all across the world, you know, don't make excuses. If it has been a long time, just go in and say it's been a long time. If you don't know the prayers, just say, I don't know the prayers, you know. Everyone is welcome, and that is a start. And I encourage those who are listening today to get back to the sacrament and continue that beautiful sacrament of mercy and God's healing and grace.
Thank you so much for sharing, Father Jim Sitchko. We appreciate you coming on.
Good to see you again.
Absolutely. A report says that officials in China have elected two new bishops. This comes even though the Vatican is not able to ratify such nominations, while the chair of St. Peter remains vacant. The appointments will present the new pope with an early diplomatic challenge regarding the communist country. As today marks the 7th day of Novum Dialis, we take a look back at the week of masses for Pope Francis, during which cardinals pray and prepare for the conclave next week. EWTN News contributor Julia Convery has more.
Pope Francis, belongs to Christ. He comes from him. And now that he has left this earth, he's fully belonging to Christ.
For 7 days, the cardinals in Rome have been gathering for daily mass to mourn the loss of Pope Francis, praying for the repose of his soul. Each day, a different cardinal celebrates mass, sharing their reflections on the life and legacy of the late pontiff.
In questi giorni, Roma è un popolo che piange il suo vescovo.
In these days, Rome is a people, mourning its bishop, a people together with other peoples who have lined up, finding a space among the city's places to weep and pray, like sheep without a shepherd.
Everyone are called to live in the church. Never forget it.
Different groups are invited to participate in Mass each day, each sharing a special connection to Pope Francis. Groups include employees from the Vatican, the Roman Curia, and Eastern churches. In addition to remembering Pope Francis, the cardinals pray and prepare for the election of the next pope.
Oggi sono I padri cardinali.
Today, the cardinals are called to participate in these novendiali, almost as a central stage of this church journey, pouring ourselves out in prayer like a college.
There are a total of 133 cardinals eligible to vote in the upcoming conclave, out of the total 252. This will be the largest conclave in history. Eligible cardinals must be under the age of 80. A two-thirds majority, or 89 votes, is needed to elect the new pope. Two cardinals have declined to participate for health reasons, while another, Cardinal Angelo Becciu, convicted of embezzlement within the Vatican, decided to, quote, not enter the conclave to obey the will of Pope Francis. As the 9 days of mourning wraps up this Sunday, so too do the pre-conclave congregation meetings, meetings where cardinals discuss issues important for the church and the next pope. The conclave is set to begin May 7th with a votive mass at 10 a.m. at St. Peter's Basilica, followed by the official start with a prayer service at 4:30 p.m. in the Vatican Palace, from which the cardinals will process to the Sistine Chapel to begin the voting process. Julia Convery, EWTN News Nightly.
We have a lot more still to come on EWTN News Nightly, including strength in numbers. The April jobs report has come in. We discuss the state of the economy. And Republicans push for a pro-life agenda on Capitol Hill. We have the latest. President Trump's nominee to be ambassador to the Holy See has cleared a major hurdle. Brian Birch is the president of Catholic Vote. He advanced out of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee in a vote along party lines. He now heads to the full Senate for final confirmation. In a previous hearing, Birch said if confirmed, he would encourage the Vatican to apply pressure to China's communist regime on human rights abuses and the appointment of bishops. The White House responds to a stronger-than-expected report on the U.S. job market. And the Trump administration says, quote, more winning is on the way. White House correspondent Owen Jensen reports.
Good evening. The Labor Department says American employers added 177,000 jobs in April. Employment remains solid. And President Donald Trump, who's in Florida, reacted to the latest numbers.
Most Americans still enjoy job security. On Truth Social, President Donald Trump writes, gasoline just broke $1.98 a gallon, lowest in years. Groceries and eggs down, energy down, mortgage rates down, employment strong, and much more good news as billions of dollars pour in from tariffs. The Secretary of Labor calls it an exciting day for the American worker.
We knocked it out of the park last month, and to beat expectations this month is great, not only for the American economy, but for all Americans.
Meanwhile, tariffs likely to raise costs for Americans. But in a speech at the University of Alabama, the president told graduates,
so in 2 months, we had over $8 trillion, think of it, committed
Nobody's ever seen anything like it. There's never been anything like it in any country at any time. And it's all because they want to avoid the tariffs. We want to get here fast.
Starting today, so long to a duty-free exemption on low-value imports from China, known as the de minimis exemption. Consumers can expect higher prices. Earlier this week, President Trump criticized de minimis, which the administration says hurt small mom-and-pop businesses.
It's a big deal. It's a big scam going on against our country, against really small businesses, and we've ended. We put an end to it.
The Democrat President Trump beat in November attacked his tariffs.
Tariffs that, as I predicted, are clearly inviting a recession.
And China reiterating today that it is open to talks, but also that Beijing is determined to fight the tariffs if it must. Meanwhile, President Trump's 2026 budget plan, it would slash non-defense domestic spending by $163 billion while increasing expenditures on national security.
Also tonight, President Trump says he wants to take away Harvard's tax-exempt status, and he signed an executive order to cease federal funding for NPR and PBS. At the White House, Owen Jensen, EWTN News Nightly.
And joining us now is Taylor Huffman, a client portfolio manager at PT Asset Management. Taylor, thanks for being here. First, give us your reaction to today's jobs numbers.
Yeah, it was a really positive end to the week, right? So we started off going into the week with concerns around consumer confidence. We had real GDP fall 0.3% over the quarter. And then we ended on this bright note with the jobs report. So it was notable that, you know, the number of hours worked, the participation rate grew, and obviously the unemployment rate fell. So it was a really bright end to the week.
And talk to us about what you're seeing in the stock market. What do today's numbers say to you?
Yeah, you know, there's been a lot of volatility, right? I know you just had covered some major points of topics, right? We have tariffs. We have geopolitical risk with China. You know, the headlines around NPR and Trump's executive orders. It leads to a lot of volatility. Nonetheless, you know, the jobs report was certainly taken by stride by the equity market. We ended up again today. So we're just ending the note on a good note in terms of equities as well as the jobs report.
And from your perspective, looking at the Trump administration, 100 days in now, how is the economy looking as far as inflation, gas prices, and everyday essentials?
Mm-hmm. You know, we had an updated inflation number this week. It still is coming up higher than the 2% target by the Federal Reserve, but it is starting to trend lower. It's starting to trend closer to that 2% number. So we're getting there, but certainly from the Fed's perspective, the job is not done yet.
And it might be hard to tell at this point, but what differences have you seen in this limited sample size between the Trump economy and the Biden economy? What can you tell us?
Yeah, you know, every administration, it leaves behind fingerprints, and every administration inherits some type of influence, right? But if you consider, you know, inflation is an easy one to pick on, that some of that is stemmed beyond the Biden administration, right? It goes back to the COVID-19 pandemic. I know people are sick of talking about COVID and inflation, but the reality is it still is driving it. So more to come for sure, but some of, you know, there is some influences from the prior administration and beyond.
More to come, as you say. What do you expect to see in the weeks and months ahead?
Yeah, folks are likely sick of hearing this word by now, but uncertainty continues to be the name of the game. You know, until we have a little bit more clarity on geopolitical relations with China, you know, time is ticking with this 90-day pause on Trump's tariff pause. And, you know, how we get some clarity, and until then, you know, until we have some cemented clarity on some of these larger drivers of volatility in markets, we're likely to see a little bit more volatility from here.
Well, we'll be paying attention. Taylor Huffman, a client portfolio manager at PT Asset Management. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
Pro-lifers have had a lot to cheer about in the first 100 days of the Trump administration. The president has pardoned anti-abortion activists and ordered an end to, quote, the anti-Christian weaponization of government, among other actions. The Republican-controlled Congress has also passed several pro-life bills, and House Speaker Mike Johnson says there's more to come in the reconciliation bill.
We're absolutely making it clear to everybody that this bill is going to redirect funds away from big abortion and to federally qualified health centers.
The Trump administration is currently withholding tens of millions of taxpayer dollars from Planned Parenthood and other abortion providers. And there's more.
I want to pass a bill where the abortion providers have to give women all the information on the development of the baby, require an ultrasound, and have a 24 or 48-hour waiting period at least.
Congresswoman Mary Miller also wants a bill requiring abortion providers to contact the parents of minors seeking abortions. These bills could become part of the reconciliation package, and the White House continues to back pro-lifers. On day one of his administration, President Trump ordered federal agencies to recognize only two sexes, male and female. Democrats charged the president is promoting discrimination.
In his very campaign, singled out in opportunistic bigotry the trans community. We stand here in the backdrop of a time that LGBTQ Americans are being targeted and singled out.
Meanwhile, Pro-Life Caucus co-chair Congressman Chris Smith and over two dozen other pro-life lawmakers sent a letter to President Trump asking him to stop funding embryonic stem cell research. The letter says in part, the research relies on the death of young human beings. Human life cannot be reduced to the level of a guinea pig. There is no such thing as a spare human being on whom it is permissible to conduct experiments which kill. The practice of funding this research has been a moral blot on NIH.
In the last few years under Biden, we've spent $1 billion killing embryos in order to steal, derive their stem cells.
And Republicans have more bills in the pipeline. Several pro-life senators have just introduced a measure to ban government funding of gender transition procedures. They claim it would save taxpayers $200 million annually.
Divisions are appearing among Republicans trying to craft a bill containing President Trump's agenda. A group of House conservatives says significant structural reforms of Medicaid should be included in reconciliation. 19 Republican lawmakers led by Freedom Caucus member Congressman Chip Roy are demanding the GOP conference pursue meaningful reforms in reconciliation, including eliminating the enhanced federal matching funds for states that expanded Medicaid. The House and Energy Commerce Committee is charged with finding $880 billion in savings over a decade, which most of it expected to come from health programs. Up next on EWTN News Nightly, evacuation warning. We tell you where a 7.4 magnitude earthquake is causing fears of a tsunami. Plus, the EU hits the unlike button on a popular social media app. An evacuation alert was issued Friday after a 7.4 magnitude quake strikes off the southern coast of Chile and Argentina. Officials say no major damage was reported, but there are fears of a tsunami, which led to the suspension of water activities. Chile's president says all resources are available to emergency responders. Now to the Middle East, where the U.S. launches another airstrike against Houthi rebels in Yemen. Houthi officials say three people were injured. This video shows clouds of smoke rising over the skyline of one of Yemen's main cities. The U.S. military did not immediately confirm the claims. The U.S. is conducting strikes on Yemen amid attacks by the Houthi rebels on shipping vessels in the Red Sea, a vital trade route. There's also new video tonight of an alleged drone attack on a ship carrying aid to Gaza. Organizers say the strike took place in international waters off Malta. No one was injured, and a nearby tugboat helped put out a fire. A humanitarian group says the 12-person crew was forced to send out a distress call. It also blames the attack on the Israeli military. Israel did not immediately comment. A social media giant is facing hundreds of millions of dollars in fines from the European Union. TikTok is being fined $600 million for data transfers to China that broke EU privacy rules. The charges come after a four-year investigation. Lawmakers in Ireland say TikTok was not transparent with users about where their personal data was being sent. TikTok's parent company is based in communist China. It says it will appeal the ruling. We thank you for watching tonight. Remember, you can follow us on social media, Facebook, X, and Instagram at EWTN News Nightly. I'm Mark Irons. Good night, and God bless.